Welcome to the Alberta Wildlife Stories Podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to our supporters Grizz Targets, Slayer Calls, C&D Archery, and Precision Edge Taxidermy. To find more info on these great people, be sure to check out the links in the description, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks for listening. Join us on June 29th to July 1st for the first annual Alberta Wildlife Stories 3D shoot hosted at the Sherwood Park Archery Club in Central Alberta. The 3-day shoot will consist of 4 rounds, door prizes, vendors, a charity shoot-off, and much more, with all proceeds going to support the Sherwood Park Archery Club. To register, visit sherwoodparkarchery.com, and we hope to see you there. In case you missed it, we just announced the AlbertaWildlifeStories.com website, along with the first issue of the Alberta Wildlife Stories e-magazine and audio magazine that features articles narrated by the authors themselves. We're so stoked to bring this project to you guys. Head over to the website, check it all out. There's more content there with blogs, news posts, and everything there. We can't wait to bring you the next issue already. Joining me today is co-host Luke Squires and returning guest Hunter Friesen from Precision Edge Taxidermy. We just spent the day at the YAG Boat and Sportsman Show at the Precision Edge Taxidermy booth with Hunter. We're going to talk about how awesome of a day it was doing that. And Hunter also is going to share some stories from his 2023 hunting season that led to some pretty phenomenal experiences. So before we get into it, Luke, Hunter, welcome again. Thanks for joining me and everything.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really excited to be here again, share some stories, and just an awesome day we had together.
Yeah.
Happy to have you, Hunter. It was a great day. Thanks for having us at your booth.
Yeah, no problem. No, it was awesome. Got a little bit of a bigger booth this year, and nice to have enough room to share it with you guys and everything, and have some merchandise and stuff like that there for you guys, and just a ton of fun meeting everybody, so.
Yeah, definitely seemed crazy getting into it. Like, you know, you're talking about how Thursday and Friday went and everything, and then, getting into Saturday, it was a bit of a zoo today. There's a lot of people cruising through and a little bit overwhelming just how many people were coming by saying hi and everything, but it was so cool to, get to meet people and say hi and everything, but...
Yeah, talking with some other exhibitors from even last year, too, it definitely seems quite a bit bigger this year and a lot more foot traffic kind of come that Thursday and Friday. So I'm excited to have one more day there. Just a lot of people coming up, great response to the booth, and just meeting everybody as well from the podcast and everything. It's just been, super exciting. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty funny because we were like, a lot of topics that we touched on, just like talking to people. And, you know, it's something funny with the podcast that it's always been very virtual. And I think it's reoccurring that we're talking to a lot of people that we live in such a virtual world these days of liking and commenting and sharing things, and everybody lives by their like Instagram handles, and you know, not only are you just putting faces to names, you're all of a sudden now putting faces to Instagram handles, which is for some reason a weird thing to say, right? But yeah, it's awesome to finally meet people that have either been on the podcast prior or, you know, listened and came up and talked about listening to it and the enjoyment, and just getting to meet other guests and the fan base and stuff like that. So it was really, really cool to experience that at your booth, and at the same time get to showcase all your phenomenal work and everything. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was an absolute great time. I got to meet a lot of guys that only had Instagram handles in my head and didn't have any, it was nice to put a face to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt. It was really, really nice to see everybody, and even kind of prior, you know, pre-meet, a lot of people, even before, like, everybody's talking about the Sherwood Park shoot and stuff like that, everybody seems great response, a lot of people want to go to it this summer and everything, so that should be an absolute blast, too, and meet a lot more people and everything, but yeah, it's just a nice little kind of runner-up to that, and just see the turnout and stuff like that, really great for... Yeah, thank you for everybody coming out and supporting the podcast and the booth and everything, and all the hard work that's gone into everything that was there. So
Yeah, no man, it was absolutely amazing to to join you there and to be there. It was definitely surreal. Like, we walked in and you know, they've got the two bays now with mainly a lot of the boats and marines and everything like that. And yeah, you know, it's just two huge bays of that, and then you get into the hunting side with everyone else's booth, and it was just so cool in the morning before they opened up to take a lay of the land and see everything that there was to see before it opened up, and you know, get to talk to a couple of the other vendors and everything. And yeah, it was just really cool to see the way it was all laid out, and you know, the way I navigated over to your booth and everything. But yeah,
yeah, definitely seemed quite a bit, yeah, like I said, bigger this year and stuff, and they kind of separated hunting and fishing just out a little bit more, and then kind of kept that, yeah, motocross, ATV, stuff like that in another section. So yeah, it was really the foot traffic that was through there was, yeah, mainly for that reason, hunting, fishing, and see all that stuff. And yeah, it's nice to go there a little bit early and talk to the other exhibitors and stuff like that, and just quickly go through before it gets really busy. Because I mean, yeah, even came Friday morning and stuff, like right at 12 and doors opened, it was just a wall of people coming through there, which was fantastic. And even today, I mean, you guys were running around too. I hardly was able to leave the booth at all. It was just fantastic how busy it was. It was just tons of fun and makes the day go by way, way quicker. I mean, we're there for, well, starts at 10, done at 6, we're there 8 hours today, and freaking only felt like 2 hours. Like, yeah, it just flew by, like, yeah, unbelievable. But
yeah, and actually the,
what's his name?
Oh, just being my first time at the Edmonton Boat and Sportsman Show, I was blown away with just the production. It was just so well done. It was just, you knew you're going into like a world class event, not something in some small town, just in an arena. It was just, yeah, it was next level for sure.
Well, yeah, you had like the Wild TV stage set up and everything there, right? And a lot of the vendors, like really big booths, beautiful booths that were set up there too, and just lots of great people from, you know, locals with stores and small brands to big outfitters and big names and big companies. Like, it had a mix of everything, and I think that's really nice, is when you get to see that, right? Like, you get to see everything from, you know, the small local shops and, yeah, the big, you know, industry names when it comes to like bow manufacturers like APA or something like that, right? Or SCI and all the Safari Club stuff. Like, it's cool to see everyone intermingling in the community. And yeah, like we were saying, just living in such a digital world, it's so cool to finally shake some hands and meet some people face to face and bring that online world more into the public more. And yeah, it's a really cool thing to see. But
yeah, no, it's a, like you were saying, it's a really great place for small businesses and big businesses, no matter the size, to gain traction in their own industry and stuff like that. And it's a place everybody can get along, get together, and yeah, no matter the size, it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
What? How did you guys feel going into today, knowing it was going to be like a busier day, like Saturday? Because I know, like we were kind of saying, like Luke and I didn't know what to expect for traffic, and it turned into being quite a bit. But how did you feel going into the Saturday morning?
Pretty good. I mean, from what I saw, yeah, Thursday and Friday prior, I knew it was going to be a busy day, and I'm expecting tomorrow to be as busy or just slightly less. But yeah, I know I kind of expected it was going to be mayhem, especially having you guys at the booth too, and just having your guys' foot traffic come through and everybody wanted to be at the booth and everything. And yeah, thankful to have a bigger booth, because it was nice to, you know, yeah, we were all talking to people at once and quite a few times, and yeah, just super busy throughout the entire day, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you, Luke, going into it?
Yeah, I lost sleep last night.
Me too, yeah.
Didn't know what to expect. Was super excited, and yeah, it exceeded my expectations for sure. And just hanging out at a taxidermy booth, you know, all the people coming up and just complimenting, you know, Hunter's work on the wolves, the bears, and the deer, and the birds. It was fun to talk to people about taxidermy, and they all, you know, asked for business cards and stuff. It was kind of fun. It felt like, yeah, you know, kind of an employee, Precision Edge taxidermy there for a bit.
I was going to say that. It was nice putting you guys to work. I sit down for a second, and then you guys talk to my people coming up, asking questions and stuff like that, and you guys handing out cards. So it was good to have you guys there take a little breather and sit down for a second, switch roles. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was cool, though. I think, like, something that really stood out for me was, like, you know, seeing people, like, and I wonder, you know, like, you know, if someone's going up to a booth for, like, say, a store or a clothing company or something like that, like, you think, like, you know, they're going up interested in stuff like that, but I think something that stands out with being a taxidermist booth is you get people that are just like looking and like pointing, and they're like, oh, like look at that buck, or like look at that bird, or look at the wolf. Like just seeing people's kind of reactions, like especially with like those ones you have up front, like Luke, your deer there, and then that wolf that's right beside it, like those, and even that bird pedestal you had on the corner, people would like walk past that and they would just kind of stop, and they would just like quickly be like whoa, you just see their facial expression as like, oh, look at this, right? And it's so cool to see, because I don't know, you know, if like a lot, and it's not to down talk any other booths or anything like that, it's just something unique about taxidermy, right? Like everybody likes to see a nice mount and a nice display, and when you do that kind of quality work that you do, right, it's cool to see like people's reactions, and like that's the writing on the walls for your work, right? Like that's like almost the biggest compliment is to see people stop and be like, whoa, you know, like that looks unreal.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and even like I was telling Luke, I think earlier today too, like I had tried to have a good mix of stuff between waterfowl, upland birds, and then yeah, some a wolf, bear, deer and stuff like that, antelope. And I was telling him it's cool because everybody has their own little thing that they like, their own little niche thing. So some people come to the booth and they love looking at the deer, and then that's kind of it. And then some people come and they're so focused on the birds, the waterfowl, and that's their thing. And then some people are like set on the partridge that I had and the pheasant, they're upland hunters, and that's what they liked. Everybody had their kind of niche little group of what they like to hunt, and I was explaining that to you. It's kind of cool because everybody comes up, really inspects what they like, and then they head off, which is awesome. And it's cool to be able to offer all those services to people and just kind of have such a cool variety there. And I was glad I was able to get enough mounts in there to cover all that.
Yeah.
I had a couple of people come up and ask if they could take selfies with the wolf. I thought that was fun.
Like, yeah,
absolutely, go ahead.
Yeah, Thursday, that's for sure. The wolf, like all day Thursday, people were like, holy crap, like that was people were really loving that Thursday. Well, even throughout yesterday and today too, but yeah, Thursday, that was definitely the hot item, that's for sure. But
the wolf,
yeah
so unique,
people trying to have staring contests with it, and they lost every time.
Well, yeah, there's almost like that expression through its eyes, right, that it looks like it's very much like staring at you or like gazing into you, like and don't get me wrong, like all the eyes on all of the stuff you're doing are beautiful, but there's just something about like a wolf's eyes like that you're just like, holy cow.
Yeah, it's kind of like
looks through you.
Yeah, kind of like a wolf or a cat or something. But that's kind of what I try to achieve with a predator mount is and even a wolf too, like it's kind of that 1,000-yard stare, like they stare you down. And even talking to people, like they're like, I heard quite a few wolf hunting stories over the past couple of days, and they're like, oh, I was hunting this one, but yet it was hunting me at the same time. Like they're like, I had this big black one that I seen across the field, and all of a sudden it moves into the trees and it pops out 100 yards closer, and they're kind of like, I'm out there for deer, but I'll shoot a wolf, but yet it's coming for me too. And it's, and people understand that look, and they're like, that kind of what he looked like coming for me, like they're just trying to achieve that mean look, or not mean, but just
predatory stare.
Exactly. They have such a, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but just dominant stare, and just their kings demeanor. Out there too. Demeanor, that's what I was looking for, you know, even more than like say a bear, a black bear, a grizzly bear. Like they are just kings of their own world out there. And yeah, it's good, they're cool, a lot of people like them.
Yeah, it's definitely unique, but like to have a wolf in general, right? Like it's super unique. But yeah, there's like lots going on there. They had the trout pond set up, which I thought was cool. It's just like, I wanted to go throw a fly in there so bad. And then everything they had just for like families and kids, I thought was super cool. Like over in the corner where they had
the archery.
Yeah, they put on that little archery shoot for, like, I mean, they had the actual like youth competition going on downstairs, but
yeah, the NAS program.
Yeah, the NAS program. Yeah. But like up, I don't know, I think it was SCI that was doing that. You know, where there, it was almost like skeet shooting, where they're shooting like a foam target into the air, and people could try to like shoot a foam target out of the air. I thought that was super cool for like kids and stuff to do. And then just lots of cool stuff like that.
Very but, Tim Wells-esque.
Yeah. Throw this spear at
shooting geese with a bow, you know.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
That's funny.
No, it's a great, it seems like, yeah, they've done a great job bringing in really nice family events and stuff like that. Yeah, the trout pond, even, you know, they had snakes and reptiles there, just everything there. Yeah, just really appealing to kids, and obviously, you know, hunter education and stuff like that too. They had a great job setting up that, and you know, hearing the, you know, heard you know, dad say to his wife and stuff like that, like, no, let's go to the here part of it, like, it'll be great for the kids. And I'm like, yes, get over there. Like, it's just great to hear that kind of stuff, that people still really take an interest, and their kids were so young too, that it was just, yeah, it was really cool to see.
Yeah, and that Ahia part too, like the hunters that area was awesome. Like, they had one, like the pellet shooting, and yeah, just everything, rifle safety stuff, and there's so much stuff over in that corner too for family to do. And yeah, it's more than just a trade show event where people are just going booth to booth looking at different things. Like, there's so much interactive stuff for people to do. So
yeah,
it was really unique to see. And
they did a great job.
Yeah, but got busy. Like, there was parts where I know I looked over and Luke was talking to like a group of five people, and Hunter was talking to a group of five people, and I'm talking to a group of five people, and there's still people trying to float around that. And it's a good thing to be that busy for sure, and to be talking to all those people. But I was kind of looking around at one point, and I'm like, you feel like you're like protecting the castle because it's about to get stormed. It's people trying to pet every deer mount that's there or something, you know?
Well, yeah, too. And everybody that comes up too, I mean, some guys, yeah, have stories they want to share too, no matter what, and show you pictures and everything. Yeah. And I've had people, you know, come back an hour later, like they're like, oh, I want to show you my deer that I got or whatever animal. And then I've had people come back an hour later because they couldn't find it, and they're like, found it. Just want to come all the way back to show me photos of their hunt and stuff like that. It's just so cool. Because even then I feel good too, that people come to me, you know, who cares, because I'm there as a sportsman and stuff like that, and as a taxidermist. But it's just cool because people love to just come up to me and share stories, and it's just, yeah, it's really really cool.
Yeah, I think that's something maybe we'll look into. It's something we kind of wanted to explore this year, but it gets tight with committing to 4 days out there. But doing something where we're recording people's stories and stuff like that too, right? And try to do those little segments of passersby talking about a story and sharing it on like a large episode or something we want to do. But I think want to try to maybe see next year if we can't try to commit to the 4 days, because and you know, when you said like it goes by so quickly, it's kind of bittersweet, because in one instance it's so busy that once it like slowed down there in like the last hour, you're like, it's kind of nice that it's slower, because it was so chaotic for a bit. But in the same instance, you're like, man, I'd love to go back again tomorrow, and you know, I'd rather like go and talk to more people, or wish I was here on Thursday talking to people, right? It's just so nice to have that commonality. And I think it's a cool time of year that they do it too, right? Because it's not like it's right after hunting season, and it's not right before and getting people stoked. It's kind of right in that middle ground where, you know, people are getting excited for maybe spring bear, like, you know, BC turkey and stuff or whatever. But for the most part, it's kind of in that just about springtime and to winter. And you know, I think everybody at that point is just dying to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, we haven't talked about hunting because we've been out of the season for so long or whatever. And I think everyone's just stoked to be there talking about the thing they love and sharing things they love and checking out different things that are new in the industry or whatever. And yeah, it makes for a really cool atmosphere all in all.
But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we want to also thank everybody that came up that, you know, were guests, previous guests on the podcast, and listeners and stuff like that too. We were trying to, just before we came on here, we were trying to kind of collect all the different names of all the people that came through. And you know, lots of people traveled from, you know, a few hours away just to come by and say hi and check out the booth and everything. And yeah, it was super, super nice to see everybody that passed by and said hello and stuck around and had a good long conversation with many people. And it was just so awesome to meet, you know, listeners and prior guests, and to reiterate again the whole digital to reality thing, just to shake hands and put a face to name. But yeah.
Yep.
Do you guys have a favorite booth that wasn't the taxidermy booth? That's a tough question, because it's like, you don't want to pick favorites, but but I don't know, because there's so many awesome people there, right? Like, it was literally the conglomerate of just like everybody that you've heard of or know of or whatever, right? So
yeah,
I don't know.
I really enjoyed the Off the Grid Apparel.
Yeah.
Those guys, yeah, they were really down to earth. Kevin, Gord, I believe Bamford. His name was. Gord was there.
Yeah, Gord.
And you know, put your hands on their product, you know, locally made.
Yeah.
You know.
Very good price.
Well priced. And, you know, just seemed like a cool new startup. And, you know, they got their proprietary camouflage that they're coming out with, their own pattern. And according to, they got more stuff coming. So it's pretty sweet to to see another startup in there and have a, they also had a double booth. So, had a good conversation with Kevin there. So,
yeah, nice. I need to get over there too. Well, I didn't have really too much time today. I was over there before, I think yesterday, early morning before they showed up. So I need to get over there and meet those guys as well too.
Yeah. I was just searching in my pockets for the stickers that Kevin gave me. And I was like, wait, I can't lose those. They're freaking awesome. But yeah, do you got 100?
Oh, I don't
even know. It's so tough. I shouldn't even ask that.
Oh shoot. I'm trying to remember everything here. I'm just like, holy crap.
We had to do like multiple laps. Like when we first got there, all three of us did a lap.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it looks cool. I think we saw everything. And all of a sudden I'm like, dude, I didn't even see the Slayer's call or the Slayer calls booth. And then you're like, well, the Vortex booth. I'm like, Vortex has a booth. Did we walk right past it?
Oh, dude, absolutely. I know. Even me, I've done like 3 or 4 rounds now, and you can walk down the aisle, but if you're looking left instead of right, you're going to miss it. As you said, then you walk down again. Oh, they're right there too. I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I still got to do like one more like full kind of lap and stuff like through there. And
Yeah. You got one that stood out to you?
I can't even think about it. I don't know.
It's tough, right? Because I can think of like a bunch. Like
Fish Cops had a lot of nice taxidermy.
Yeah, they did too.
Yeah,
a lot of confiscated.
That's
funny. But no, I think, you know, like Hooked Up Fishing Gear had a lot of awesome stuff at their booth. I thought, you know, like they got that big kayak on display with all the fishing gear in the back, but then they had some archery stuff. You know, Jay brought his bow and had the prime bow there, and there's a lot like arrows and stuff like that. I was like, man, I want to find someone that sells arrows or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they had like a lot of good stuff at their booth and a lot of good like diversity. And I mean, that's just their store in general, right? Like their store is awesome and they carry a lot of products that you honestly won't find in a lot of hunting and fishing stores, which was cool to see.
Yeah.
The Catching Big Lures guys had a really nice
booth. I was gonna say that it was cool meeting those guys quickly.
And like Carson and everything. Yeah.
Because honestly, I love their logo and stuff and their hats and everything, dude. It's like I'd love one of their hats and I gotta go grab some stickers if they got stickers, that's for sure. But it was cool going through and meeting those guys that you guys so.
Well, and then it's tough too, right? Because like then the Scree booth is nice with Jonathan Lehman and all those guys, and then you get over and obviously like the Wapiti Calls booth is nice with Travis O'Shea, and then you got like Michael doing the Hudo knives and stuff, and it's just like all through that like center of it, and then of course it's surrounded by all these incredible outfitters and guides from Alberta, right? Mm-hmm. And then I mean SCI and the, you know, those guys had like a lot of cool mounts, a lot of cool like belts and stuff, and it just. It's tough to really pick a favorite because everyone is for sure like unique in their own way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I don't know one that I think like the Hooked Up one really stood out for just a lot of kind of unique. Yeah, like I just think the kayak really grabs.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like you see that thing and you're like, well, I'm going to check that out, right? So it's hard to really say, right? And then I mean, I was surprised I didn't know APA was going to have a booth there. So it was cool to see some just like full boat.
Yeah.
I think we saw the one guy, like just a customer, like walking away just like a brand new black Mamba. He's like pushing his stroller with his wife, brand new black Mamba, and had like a sight on it. I'm like I wish I was that guy right now. I was like just walking away with a brand new bow from the show. I'm like, buddy just went in, and I mean maybe that was his plan, because you know sometimes it's harder to find APA in the area and stuff like that. So he might have been going straightly there, and he's like, today's nude bow day for me. But anytime you see a guy walking away with a new bow, you're like, I wish that was me too.
Put yourself in his shoes.
Yeah, you're like, yes, dude. Like, kid, you're like, rooting for him.
Well, even the like you say, the Slayer booth too. I mean, hearing them rip on the goose and duck calls all weekend and stuff. You know, that waterfowl hunting is near and dear for sure. So I just love hearing that, and it's just getting me so antsy for September and October and stuff. And I'm just so ready for that. And
it's so funny how like, you know, Travis O'Shea and the Wapiti guys are like buddies with Slayer Calls.
He's cool,
and you'll hear them like challenge bugle each other from like across so the cool, thing, and dude. They're just like yapping back and forth. It's cool. It's like, I really like that in anything within the hunting world when it's not like a competitive industry, but it's like a cooperative community. You know, like everybody wants to see each other succeed. I don't think there's, you know, I mean, look at like, I just thought about that because right around the corner from there was like Mitchell Payment's booth, right? And the mounts he has in his booth from the stuff he shot, you're like, holy crap, right?
Yeah.
Like he's just got some incredible stuff too.
Absolutely.
Right? And I don't know the armory booth there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The name totally slipped my mind.
Revolutionary Army. Yeah.
Enemy hunting supplies.
Yeah. And yeah, it was just funny because they had, like you said, they had a taser going, and people were like, "Is that thing even legal?" And there's like, there's cops walking around and fish cops walking around. So you're like, you know, no, they don't care. Yeah. It's all good. But it was just so funny to, and I mean, they had a great booth. It was a really cool booth. And it just was funny to see them just clicking a taser around. It got me every time. I was like, oh God, I'm afraid I'm going to get jabbed.
Oh yeah, you don't even have to get jabbed without a taser. There's a freaking baton too. Yeah, you just need to get cracked and then you're done.
And a flashlight, I think, too.
Yeah, That's pretty funny.
Not too good.
People walking by and they give you a couple little zaps there and it gets your attention.
Yeah.
I think the one guy had a shotgun on his back. Did you see that? And he had like the sheath with a sawed out, like not sawed off, but a very short shotgun.
Yeah.
You could pull out like a
sword
off. He didn't. He was just like showing it off.
Yeah. He didn't have that Thursday or Friday. And then I was there Friday night and he's like, oh, I think I need to bring that backpack out. And then sure enough, today he has the backpack and the shotgun.
Yeah,
it was cool.
And then, I don't know. I just think,
the whole show was awesome.
Oh, yeah, just tons of great stuff, I think.
Yeah, and like you said, just a really well-organized event. I forget who said that. Somebody said that today. I think that was, like, my buddy Mike there that was coming through, that he was just like, what it must take to put that on. You know, like, getting those boats in there. Some of those boats aren't even on trailers. They're, like, taken off the trailers and dropped and stuff, right? And you're just like, man, like, that's a lot of setup. And, I mean, I know you would know from getting set up there, Hunter, and seeing it all kind of come together a bit on the day you're getting things in there, but... Yeah, it takes a lot to organize that event and everything, and it's a really cool thing to bring all these like-minded people together and talk about it and everything. But, yeah, I think it was funny because I had the embarrassing... I let people see an embarrassing side of me that was that I don't know how to use a mouth read.
Still working on that.
Yeah, well, I wanted to get some calls from Wapiti. I wanted to get some calls from Slayer. And then, Hunter was looking at some double read stuff. So we went in and we got a couple of the double read duck calls from Slayer. Those are the award-winning ones from 2023, right?
Yeah.
From that Field and Stream. And then went over and got some of the mouth reads from Travis at Wapiti. And... man, could I not use those at all? I'm sitting there. Yeah. Everybody's talking, and when I had a quiet minute to myself, I'd go to the corner and just sound like a goose more than a
freaking... Sometimes you hit a goose call pretty good.
Nice to rip on one of the duck calls, because even last year at the last hour on the Sunday, I was like, hey, I'll buy a goose call, I'll crack down, and I used that all season, and it was super, super nice.
Super effective,
too. So I was really happy to get a duck call from them finally. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's funny, because I blame it on their Enchantress, because Slayer makes that Enchantress call that's so nice, because it's
too easy to use.
Yeah, it's an open reed call that you just blow through a tube, and you adjust the sound by pressing the reed on top of, the cylindrical piece there, right? Yeah. People haven't seen it before. And you get so accustomed to using it, and then you love it, and then the next thing you go to put another mouth read in your mouth, and you're like, well, this is the most awkward thing.
Try to
remember how to do it and everything. But I mean, man, the Enchantress is so nice. I'll give it to my 3-year-old son and he'll get a little cow chirp going out of it or whatever, right? So it's when it's that easy, it's hard to go back to mouth reads and stuff. But there's a place for both for sure. And they both make really, really, really nice products, and it was cool to just see them both there and see them talking like animal talk to each other throughout the whole show.
It's cool, funny.
I went over booths, we liked that, and I think the general reception of your booth and everything was really, really good. We were saying, it was super cool to see. I really like how you said that with people coming through and if they were waterfowl guys looking out the birds and stuff. And I mean, the habitat. Yeah, and the habitat was so cool, right? To see all the habitats you do.
Yeah.
And just seeing how people were kind of in awe by it. And they just stop and, like I said, just pointing and looking at it. It was super, super cool. And I think it was really awesome because, a lot of those animals were 2023. Your buck that you took this year that you wrote about in the magazine that we want to get to talking about here soon. That was up on the one corner, and then of course Luke's on a pedestal was there, and then behind that you had Corey from C&D. He had his antelope there, and then my guy was up in the other corner. I'm trying to think what else there may have been. 2023, you had your first bear from the year prior.
So that was 2020. Absolutely all those animals are taken this year. There wasn't except for the Partridge, I guess. I think those were taken the year prior.
Yeah.
That I kind of had sitting around. But other than that, all those animals are 2023.
Yeah.
Like, those are shot this year. And, yeah, I had some other customer mounts there as well that I had the pleasure of taking there, and some personal mounts too. So, yeah, it was just a great mix, I thought. It was fun to have. And, going back, it's cool. Yeah, people coming in and admiring what they like, but it's so cool, people coming in that don't hunt, don't fish, don't do a lot in the outdoors, but they still like coming in and learning and just seeing all that stuff. Like, it's cool. It's just such a cool response that even the people who don't do it still enjoy that and still respect that. And it's really cool to see that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think it was very unique, because I think a lot of guys will probably, like, you know, give up their animal for a show like that to be on display to showcase, like, a taxidermist's work or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for us to actually, like, be there with you for a day and sit on that was so cool to see, right? I don't want to sound like we're trying to brag and be like, oh, it was amazing to see people like my buck or whatever. Yeah. But it's so cool because, like, you know, Thursday and Friday, you'd be like, oh, yeah, like, guys were checking it out and stuff and it seems cool. You're like, oh, cool, right on, right? Yeah. But then when you get to sit there, like, you don't get to, you know, you don't get to walk up to every single person and be like, hey, I shot that deer, you know, like, you're not, like, rubbing in anyone's face or nothing. But it's so cool because, like, you'll be over talking to someone else and you'll kind of glance over. Like, I've seen so many people look at your buck, Luke, right? Because it was so nice front and center on the pedestal, right? Yeah. And he's just a massive deer, and just, like, I was making the joke that he looked like he was shampooed in the morning and taken out of the shower, but he just looks just so good in the light, right? And it was cool to, like, just be talking, and then in the corner of your eye, you would just see, like, two people stop and, like, look at your deer and just be like, whoa, you know, and, like, taking it all in and have that kind of shock factor. And, like, it kind of reinstilled that, I don't know, like, the pride behind it, or, like, the how psyched you were to get it or something like that. Like, I try to put the right words to it. That doesn't sound like you're trying to be boastful about it or nothing, right? But, you know, it's one thing when it's, like, in your house and it's a story piece that you share with your friends and family and stuff, but when you get to just, like, hang it on the wall and in, like, an event like that and just watch passersby, like, point at it and look at it, it's like, wow, it's cool to see people, like, I don't know, it kind of is that reminder. You're like, yeah, that was a freaking good deer. Like, that was a really crazy experience.
Right? Almost respect to the animal again, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I was going to say, it's just keeping that thing of everybody's just so respectful of that.
That's
and just,
a great,
like,
way, yeah,
admiring its beauty and everything about it.
Yeah, I like that. Like you said, like, it's a respect for the animal. Because you're not sitting there being like, I shot, you're not trying to take, like, all the
credit. I shot a bigger deer than you, da da da.
Yeah, like, look at my deer over here. It's not like that, but I think that's the best way you can put it when I'm, like, looking for the words to put it. Like you said, Luke, was just like, yeah, it is to, like, re-honor that animal and see them get that appreciation of just how beautiful it is, like, the wildlife that we have in Alberta and that gets taken in this province. Like, for you to be like, yeah. And I think people were shocked by that, right? They were like, this is all, like, 2023?
Yeah.
Like, not only, like, they were shocked because, like, that's a turnaround time that's, like, crazy, right? To be like, yeah, like, those two deer came from, like, September and October or November between, well, the two deer and the antelope were, like, September, October, November. Your deer was, like, early September too, right? That's four animals in, like, the general, like, hunting season, and then your spring bear from just prior spring, right? So when you start thinking about all that stuff and how crazy the turnaround time was to work on it all to get it into the booth to be all there on display for the show, like, that I think really took people back in general, because they're like, oh, this is all, like, very recent work. This isn't, like, the same stuff you bring to every show for the past 5 years, right? It was all stuff that just happened, and I think that really added to people, like, wow, this is all, like, really fresh, and it's really interesting to see that. But
It was nice to see all the kids too interacting with the taxidermy, with all the curiosity of the children. It was it was awesome to see that as well. And you know, a lot of compliments to Hunter's work about how you know, these animals look like they're alive.
Yeah.
It feels like it's looking at me.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Hunter told me a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, it's the best compliment a taxidermist can get is that it looks alive.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a lot of those comments made.
Yeah, I think even just, like, in comments and posts and stuff, too, like, I don't want to cut you off, but to add to that, it literally, I think probably the most similar comment or the most common compliment that, like, my buck had gotten that Hunter did was that it looked like it was still breathing. Like, people were like, that thing still looks like it's breathing. And, like, many, it wasn't just one or two people that said that.
Yeah.
It was, like, a majority of people that saw that were like, man, that guy did a great job. They're like, who did that, Hunter? And he's like, he did a great job, because that thing looks like it's still breathing in your house, right?
Yeah.
And it was almost like, because that was my first shoulder mount, right? Like, mm-hmm. Luke, I know you got a couple now and stuff, right? And I know you've obviously mounted your own stuff, right? But for myself, having the first shoulder, it's funny because I've seen tons of shoulder mounts, even going to like customers' homes, and they've got some mounts, and you're like, oh, beautiful, right on, man. Oh, cool, that's cool to see. But then when you have it in your own house, and you kind of just like look over it, you're like, that thing legit looks like it's living in my house, right?
Yeah. Like it's well, even me too, like so I do have cool. another deer mounted downstairs just because I had an extra cape last year from the younger buck I shot. So I mounted one of my older racks I had. But even looking at my deer now and its original cape, and it's, well, and first one I've taken with a bow, and every time I see that on my wall too, like it also, for me, I'm just like, man, I'm just so damn proud of that deer.
Yeah.
Like it just takes me back to there and to that moment. And I'm just like, man, I'm so proud of that in that moment. And yeah, that deer. And it's really cool to be able to do the mounts myself and stuff like that. And yeah, it's really, really rewarding.
Oh man.
Yeah. And yeah, just all the comments and stuff like that. Like, I just can't believe it. Just the response from everybody has just been so positive and just mind-blowing. I can't believe it.
Bit of a side note, but a lot of people were commenting on your guys' early season bucks. The shortness of the fur in comparison to my late season buck.
I loved talking about that.
That was so interesting. And do you want having them side by side?
Yes.
It's crazy difference that those animals are from the same province.
Yeah,
they literally like would a month have apart. Looked like mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2 months apart.
Yeah.
And the fur thickness is just insane. It looks like two animals off two different continents almost.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. There's some people making comments that, is that deer a Texas deer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of how thin their fur gets.
Yeah.
How short the hair is.
Yeah.
And then my buck with the long hair that looks shampooed, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just such a different looking animal.
It's great. Like, yours I want to pet because of how it looks like this furry thing. You know, like mine, I'm like, I don't want to pet that scrawny thing.
But yeah, even ours, like the hair is so much softer too. Like even when I shot my deer, like I back brushed them and the hair was just so silky and soft. I'm like, holy crap. Like I've never seen that before.
I never honestly really saw a short hair mount all that much until I had one mounted for myself, right? Like, cool. And the first time that I really saw that difference that you're talking about, which, like you said, having them both in person, Luke, is like, it's crazy to see that, like, that difference side by side.
Yeah.
Because, and like you said, it's like 2 months apart, right? And yeah, like the first time I noticed that was when I came to pick up my deer, and then that's when I saw yours for the first time, and I was like, holy cow. Yeah. And it was just so crazy to see the difference in like obviously on the short hair you can see some of the scars and everything and whatever, and I find like right under the chin, like where that white patch is, it gets really thin, and it's really cool to see. But then when you look at yours again, it's just like you just want to pet the thing because it looks like this like cuddly furry like thing. It's just crazy. And I mean, it adds to it just looking like this big bodied buck. Like sometimes the short haired deer look like does with antlers, right?
Yeah.
Not to sound bad,
not rutted up,
the thick neck, right? So it's just funny, man.
Oh, and same with the velvet on yours too. Like I got so many questions too, like how do you preserve the velvet? Is that real velvet? And even same on mine too, because mine's just dried on, and some people are like, well, did you shoot it like that? I'm like, I can't take it off, nor am I gonna rip hard enough to take it, but I'm like, that is glued
it's
on
crazy,
there. Like it is so dried on there. But yeah, so many people asking like, is that real velvet on yours? How do I preserve my own if I get something like that? And a lot of people like just have no idea. Like I had a lady, she had no idea. She was super interested in the work that I did and everything, and she's like, what is that on there? And I'm like, well, this was shot early September, beginning of the season. And I said, that's velvet. That's how they grow their antlers. And she's like, I've never seen that in my life before. She's like, I had no idea. And she just loved it. It was so cool.
Yeah. And it's like you said, too, like with people that just may have not seen it before, the kids and stuff like that. But yeah, it's not too often now that you think about it that, like, when you see a lot of taxidermy work, that there is ones that are on display that may have that velvet or stuff. Because yeah, until you know about it, yeah, you really have no idea. Like, I think a vast majority of people don't even realize they drop antlers, you know, once a year and regrow them all back, and every day they grow like an inch, and, you know, then they get their whole rack back in velvet, and then they shed that. Mm. And it's really like the antlers that people are most familiar seeing deer with, or like a buck, right?
Yeah.
They only really have that for, what, like maybe five months? September, like the rest October. Of September, October, November, January, and then they're dropping like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
That they even look like the bucks that people are,
yeah,
well, like depicted. The way they're most, they're the most generally depicted, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah, 100%.
That's crazy to think about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they put a lot
of comments.
Yeah.
A lot of comments on those early season bucks, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the contrast, like you say, the contrast from the November to the September is cool to see that in one booth, right? It's not like you're like, oh, I just saw that one over there that seems skinnier. It's like these are side by side, right? So
yeah, I don't think that whole show there's not one. I think Mitchell actually had a early season mule deer, but other than that, there was, and it's just something you don't see that often, really. But
yeah,
everybody's really loving it.
Yeah, ah, it's super cool, man. But to get into it a little bit, you know, we know Luke's story because it was in Big Buck magazine, and we talked about it on the podcast a bit, and we've shared it here and there. We obviously know my story because it's come up numerous times, and it's been on mine and another podcast, and yada yada. And other than Hunter's story being shared in the e-magazine that's on our website and the physical copies that we're getting now of the magazine, you haven't gotten to talk a lot about your 2023 season.
Yeah.
And we've wanted to have you back on the podcast and talk to you about this for quite a while since it happened. So, re-step all the way back in your memory to, say, like, a couple days prior or the day prior to going out. What was it like getting into the beginning of the season for you to get into that deer in the opening weekend?
Yeah, well, even the deer, just the whole season. Like, I could talk so much between the deer, the bird hunting, and more. Just everything, dude. It was just such an amazing season. But, yeah, so, I mean, me and my dad, we've tried to run trail cams before, kind of on public land, but it doesn't really work out that well. So, actually, where my girlfriend's from, won't share the area, but I decided to throw out some trail cams out there just because I took my smaller buck a year prior, or last year, I guess, kind of out in that same area. So I figured it wouldn't hurt. I kind of found a nice tree line to put some cameras out there. And so that was, I think beginning of August. I felt it was a little bit late, but enough time. And it was a slow start, like I kind of shared in the article and stuff, but slowly started getting some better pictures of bucks, nothing stupid mature or super big or anything, but bucks that I'd be proud to take with a bow, absolutely. So then, I just kind of followed the pictures and stuff and kept up with the deer, and then put a stand out there. And I guess I was out there for five sits out there. I took the one evening off to do some bird hunting with my girlfriend. I started, and that buck that I shot, I shared pictures. I had him, I think, mid-October. I think I had him once on camera in the daylight, and then a nice front picture on him, kind of show off his brows and his width and everything like that. And then I never saw him again until the night that I shot him. And, so the first two sits, three sits were just super quiet. I think I saw a doe and two fawns the entire time. Like, it was just super quiet, and a young muley buck, too. Just really quiet, but I mean, still, it's just so cool to be out there. I mean, you guys know, it's just to be out there is a blessing. It's just so sweet to be there and experience it. But it was a little bit discouraging, because even in the evenings when I get to my stand, I check my camera, and there's some activity throughout there, again, some of the smaller bucks on camera and stuff. But and then I guess it was September 3rd, the evening, it was about, it was about 8 o'clock, because it was getting about, I think last light was like 9 back then still. And all of a sudden I was on my phone. I think I was just texting my dad, like, I've done this almost 3 years in a row, or my dad, how's it going out there? And then I'm just in the middle of texting him, not seeing much, put my phone down, I look up, and I'm like, oh crap. And I know immediately who it is, because when I went to my stand that morning, I pulled my card, looked at him, and I knew exactly who it was. It was that buck that I was after, and he, of course, is exactly how I shot him, shed velvet just hanging off of him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because I think the picture was like 3 a.m., and I'm in my stand by like 5:36 or something like that. So I'm like, I just missed him, and I'm like, what are the odds he's going to be back that evening? I kind of thought I was hooped, but I still sat that morning, didn't see anything, and I wasn't even going to go sit that evening, but I remember I went to work. I was like, I told my boss, I'm like, no, I'm not even going to go sit this evening. We were getting ready for the bird season. And then I went back home for lunch. And I told my girlfriend, I was like, you know what? No, I'm not doing this. I said, I'm going to go sit out there. I said, if I don't go sit out there tonight, this is like, that's going to be the night something happens. And then I went back and told my friend too there, I worked with him as well, and I said, if I don't go, something's going to happen. And, you know, it's just a system coming in, getting super breezy, cold that evening. So, like, this is going to be it. I mean, like anything, it's anything can happen. And then, yeah, I went and sat for a few quiet hours again. Nothing happened. Okay, got another hour to sit here. And then, yeah, I put down my phone and looked up, and there he's coming. So I'm kind of sitting in this, it's a tree line in between two fields, but yet in the tree line is a little cut line. It's probably only about 10 yards wide. And he was on the field edge, kind of on some other shrubs like I talked about too. He was just on the other side of some trees, and I guess back then still like leaves and stuff like that on the trees and everything. So it's still a little bit hard to see him.
Yeah.
And the wind was going right at him. I mean, he smelled me right when he was coming in, but yet also there's coyotes howling right beside me as well. So he was looking over my direction, but looking under my tree.
Crazy.
So I'm thinking he smelled me because, I mean, he's standing up high, he's smelling, he's looking and stuff like that. So he ended up coming forward. I got full draw because I'm like two more steps and I got him. He stopped, turned around, so I let down my bow. He walked back a couple steps. So I'm like, well, this buck's walking out of my life. And he stops, turns back around, takes a few more steps back towards the opening, come to full draw again. And then he stops, turns back around, so I let down again. And he starts heading back, like he's now walking fully back the way he came. And there's just a little opening that I knew I could try and feather shot through. I mean, looking back now, it was pretty small. Yeah, I ended up deer stopping and feathering a shot through him. And I thought it was a perfect shot, but I mean, thinking about it now, he's quartering away from me. So thinking where I thought I shot his shoulder, it was pretty far back, but ended up, you know, clipping still, I think, his liver, kind of kidney area and stuff. And yeah, I couldn't find him that night. Got my dad out there to help me right away. And of course, I left him for a half hour. So by that time, 8:30 sunset, we started looking. Takes us, you know, half hour, 20 minutes to retrace the steps a little bit and stuff. So then by that time, it's blackout. So we look for another like 40 minutes or something like that. And then we called it a night. And then went back that morning. After we done setting up decoys for clients and stuff like that, went back there, drove in the opposite kind of field, and I was kind of tracing the tree line with my truck, and I looked way out into the field, and there's just magpies and ravens and stuff like that, and I'm like, no way he ran that far. And I was like, but that's exactly him. So I went bombing across the field, and there he was, just laying there. And luckily no coyotes got after him. Ravens hardly even got to him, no eye damage or anything like that. Like, he was just pristine when I got to him. But
a stressful night though, thinking about it.
Well, yeah, because I remember I shared the arrow and stuff like that, and you immediately texted me like, what's happening, what's going on? And then I immediately, and then I thought, I was like, oh, I'm finding this deer right away. Like, it's a good bloody arrow, good shot. It looked like I got a nice pools of blood here and there, like on the initial blood trail. And then I immediately took the photo down because, like, I can't find him. And then I remember you're like, dude, don't stress about it. He's like, if you need to, come back in the morning. He's like, don't fret about it. Leave him until he has his time and go back. And I probably would have been freaking out if you didn't message me that and kind of keep my composure a little bit.
I've been there. It sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I never have because, I mean, any deer I've shot, it's, you know, pretty close and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that one I had no idea. Yeah. How stressful that kind of got to. And then, yeah, you start running through your head, of course, the classic, okay, how good of a shot really was it? And then, yeah, you're dealing with a wounded animal. You're like, did I really just wound that thing and he's going to die up 2 miles from me and nobody's ever going to find him again? Like, it was, it's heartbreaking to think that you actually wounded an animal and that it's going.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Well, that's why when, you did share the pictures of it when you got him, I was just like, oh, it was like a sigh of relief for myself.
Yeah.
It's a sigh of relief for everyone because everybody wants to see you be successful. And I mean, that, you know, it happens where, you know, everyone puts in the hard work that they do to make as ethical as a shot as possible. But I do like when people say, like, you know, if you haven't had an instance like that, you haven't hunted long enough, right? Where you get that kind of gut wrenching feeling, or, you know, maybe it's just you look one way, like, you know, when, Zach Hayes was talking about, like, looking for his deer and he double backed on a trail and couldn't find it, like, even then, good shot. But everyone's so quick to just, you go back thinking, like, did I miss him? Did I hit him where I thought I hit him? Like, was I aiming in the right spot? And all of a sudden your brain starts working against you and you're just like, you know, you start to panic a bit, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Kind of broadhead using
Oh, I was using a Madman broadhead, just 3-blade. And it was a clean pass through, obviously, and yeah, really good blood. I mean, other than the arrow piled into the dirt of the field immediately, so it was kind of dirty and stuff like that too. But I had, you know, it was still really good blood initially. And then I found kind of where he stopped. Does he go forward? Does he cut left? And it was just a big pool of blood there. So I was like, this has got to be perfect. And then right after that pool, he darted somewhere real quick. Obviously left, we found afterwards. And then it was just little specks of blood here and there. And I was just heartbroken later. Like, we were following him by flashlight on leaves and stuff like that. And it was so hard to try and find it. And knowing he died really quickly was, you know, really... you know, still relieving even after I found him in the morning, because I'm like, I still made a nice, at least ethical shot that by the time he ran that far, it was just a minute after I shot him. Like, he expired very quickly, actually.
Yeah.
Looking back at it and thinking about it, so.
Yeah, so but, it was more than you thought for ethicalness.
Yeah, and, well, and even then, too, like, I've shared this story a few times, and sorry to my buddy if he's listening to this episode, that I wasn't even using my bow, because I bought Corey Lohr's Expedition bow off of him, and then there's some issues with my bow that happened with my friend one evening in my shop, that unexpectedly I had to use my dad's bow.
Yeah.
So I quickly got shooting that morning. I had to wake up, I think I woke up an extra hour and a half, 2 hours early to throw in enough shots at 20 yards and then quickly at 30 yards, make sure I was hitting, you know, good groupings quickly at 20 and 30. Cause I was like, I'm not letting this ruin my season. I'm like, Dad, I'm taking your bow. I was like, I don't care. I'm using my arrows and stuff. And luckily that his bow was tuned in and dialed pretty good at 20 and 30 yards. And my broadheads were shooting really well at 30. And I was like, that's what I need. So I took it out and ended up shooting it with his bow, which he hasn't killed anything with that bow either, so he's pretty happy that his bow's now got a kill and stuff. So yeah.
How far was your shot?
It was about 25 yards, and that's kind of what I... Because, I mean, once you get in the stand, you kind of range your different trees, bushes, whatever, and that's what I kind of guesstimated him at. When I kind of measured that field edge, I kind of... I think it was about, like, 27 or whatever, and then where he was, I kind of thought about 20 to 30 pin, or did in between, and...
Bit of a split.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which, actually, looking back, is like a really good height on him. It was just a little bit far back.
Right.
So
right.
That happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's judge. So and it's so hard, in that moment to judge quartering towards, quartering away.
Yeah,
and it's just not something you completely think about right
and
in the moment.
Just a slight angle changes the projection of that arrow through.
Well, because you're looking at him like this, but then as soon as he turns like that, and that's exactly what happened, so I'm aiming right here, but when he's turned like that, then all of a sudden that's right where I hit him. So
just a couple degrees makes a world of difference.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool, because me and my buddy... couple weeks ago we went out shed hunting that exact area, and I was like, there's my stand. And actually, I left a hook up there, so I was like, there's my hook on my stand.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, here's where my buck came walking, and I was like, here's where he stopped. And I went back and I looked at my stand, and actually, like, all the twigs and shit like that, it's probably like that big opening I had between like all little twigs and stuff like that, like probably 7-8 inches, just a little opening,
small window.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I made that. I was like, I never went and looked at that afterwards, plus leaves on the trees and stuff. I'm like, how did I make that? I was like, there's no way. But
pretty easy.
Yeah, did.
And then shortly after that buck, you'd gotten into it. Was that your first elk, too?
Yeah, that was my first elk. Yeah, I was lucky enough to have a cousin who also got a draw, and they got their connections, a farm down where I got my tag at, too, and he has a tag. So I was able to... Because a lot of people, their issue now is they got, you know, enough priority to take it wherever, but they have no idea where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was lucky enough to go down there. So I guess I was down there as well right after for opening day. And they usually even said, too, like, the elk don't really get pushed around into their farmland and their area until kind of later in the season. But they're getting a lot more elk kind of pushed their way, of course, from the block and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's pretty good bulls taken every year from around that area. So, yeah, he told me, come down with me and we'll go out together. So... went out there for the first opening day and couple of days, and it was pretty good. I guess I shouldn't say it was pretty good. We drove around for like 2 days straight, which doesn't seem like much, but I mean, we drove around a lot, as much as we could in that little area. And I didn't see much. I mean, it was still early. Nobody's really pushing the elk around too much, so they're kind of just holed up wherever they're comfortable early season. And then actually, I was on my way out, like I was ripping down the highway, and all of a sudden I turn and look, because there's a lot of cattle and stuff like that, like a lot of lease land down there and stuff like that too. And I look and I'm like, those are not cattle. So I quickly stopped off the highway, pulled into approach, and I looked, and I found the herd of elk, or a little bachelor herd of bulls or whatever. So I quickly called my cousin, I let him know where they're at, and he's like, and I was like, here's where they're coming from, and here's where they're heading. And he's like, we'll get back here real quick and we'll rip out there, because he's like, I know exactly where they're going to. So long story short, we ended up, I went back, met them and stuff, but they never ended up crossing the line to be able to get a shot, so I just headed home after that. Until then I waited a week, which was great, because actually that week, I don't know if you guys had it up here or even in your area, it was just stupid foggy, and even up by Stellar there too, like it was just fog for like almost a week straight. And he's like, good thing you did not come this week, because he's like, I can't see anything. He's like, I can't see half a mile.
Huh.
So yeah, it was great. Took that week off, got some work done, perfect, and went down there the second week. So that was, yeah, by that time that's kind of mid-November, kind of nearing into the third week a little bit. And then trying to recap what events happened there, because I think when I first got down there, they still had a track on a big herd down there that kind of got pushed in. But of course, you know, there's quite a few tags down there, but you know, it's all open land and everybody knows where the elk is. I mean, you drive down the highway and you can see a herd of 120 like pretty easily. So everybody and their dog was stalking these guys, like the guys were pushing this herd like crazy.
Yeah,
it was unreal. So yeah, we ended up sitting on that herd for a little bit. Almost got a shot at a really nice bull. He probably would have gone like 330, 340, something like that. Like just a big, beautiful bull. And tons of other like really nice bulls that I would have shot around the size that I got. So yeah, there's definitely big bulls in that area, that's for sure. But and a lot of people, I mean, they shoot about the size that me and my cousin got. Like, it's so tough, everybody wants that big one, but holy crap, it's hard. And especially in a herd that big, I mean, they know where to sit so they can watch and wind everything that comes to them. They're definitely smart, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then anyways, after we tried hunting them a little bit, we took a day off. Ran down to Brooks a little bit. I think we did a little bit of shopping down there for some supplies, and we ended up having coffee with their one neighbor who's got some lease land right beside them. And he said, because he was letting some other guys on there and hunt, so he told my cousin that we couldn't go on there until they were finished hunting. And then we had coffee with him, and he told me, he's like, go on there. He's like, they're not even going out there. So he's like, screw them. He's like, you guys go ahead out there. So Ryder was like, well, we'll go out there. But he's like, call us if you see anything. Well, we're having lunch right after that. And he calls us. We're like, we're just making sandwiches. And he's like, get out here. Like, I just found a bull with some cows. So we rip out there. And sure enough, we see him go over the hill. It's a bull with about, I think he had like six, seven cows with him. So they kind of went over a little bit of a hill. So we rip around. Like, we backtrack quite a few miles into public land, just around his land, trying to catch them. And we sat and waited like a half hour at this one spot, and they're like, okay, well, it's bald prairie out here, so we can't see them running anywhere now. They must have holed up somewhere. So we went all the way back around to where we were, climbed over the hill, kept driving along this fence line, and all of a sudden I'm like stop, and they're 400 yards off kind of this trail here, just in this perfect little dish, and the wind is howling that day. And they're just in a perfect little spot where if you don't get at least 100 yards or the road that we were on, like 300 yards, you're not seeing them at all. Like, really? They knew exactly where to sit. It was really cool. And so we backed out of there really quietly, went and parked half mile away, and then we walked in at them, kind of made a little bit of a plan, because they were in a really nice dish to sneak up on them, like pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
So we started walking. And glassing them as we're walking, like kind of keeping low, standing up, glassing them, seeing horns and stuff like that, keep walking. And then we got into crawling distance, so then we get down crawling and stuff like that. And it was really funny because I was just like, oh man, I hope I don't like hit a little prickly pear or something like that. And meanwhile, my cousin just constantly, he's just, ow, ow, ow. He's hitting every single one on the way by. It was really funny. And then we ended up getting about, I think, almost under 100 yards. But then by that point, we're kind of crawling up to the hill, and there's really not much. And I can't set up a pack either because there's still, you know, this high of kind of grass out there. So I can't shoot through the grass. And I, so anyways, it was kind of a shitty situation at that point. So then I was kind of toying with the idea of kneeling and stuff like that. And anyways, by that time, the cows knew we were there and stuff like that, which was perfect. Because, I mean, the bull, I was thinking about getting a shot at him while he was laying, but he was laying amidst among the cows. So anyways, it was good. Alerted them. They got up, ran to about 200 yards out. And then the cow stayed to the left. The bull went ahead of the cows, got up on a knee, shot him. I thought it was just a shitty shot. Like, I hit him. I think I hit him low in the shoulder. So I just busted his shoulder. His arm sitting there flopping beside him. I'm like, oh no, here's a wounded bull running three-legged. I'm like, how am I going to try to get another shot into him?
Yeah.
So he ends up running. He's kind of tipping a little bit. And then I put another shot into him at about 300 yards. He ran an extra 100 out. And then he ran just an extra like 20 yards and he piled up. So found out my second shot was way off. I hit him like way in the ass. But my first shot, I hit him in the shoulder and the bullet split at the shoulder, double lunged him half the bullet and the other half got lodged in the shoulder. So that bullet hit and split and just destroyed him. So he was sitting there just perfect double lung shot on him and busted up the leg so he wasn't running too far.
Yeah.
So it ended up just being just an absolute excellent shot on him. And yeah, and it was just so cool because those animals are just so beautiful. I just love them. They're just so cool.
And you just euroed him.
Yeah. I just got him hanging in my shop now as a euro. I kept the cape to him and stuff like that, obviously. I've toyed, obviously, with mounting him and stuff like that just because they're so pretty. Like, they are gorgeous animals.
It is a nice rack. Man.
Yeah, and their hairs are so cool. I mean, their beards and stuff like that. And yeah, they just got...
They're so crazy.
They're so pretty.
Yeah,
really cool. So,
what's your go-to elk caliber?
Elk caliber? I was shooting a 300 short mag. That one. I shoot myself a 300 Win Mag. But I was having issues with my scope, so I actually used Corey's 300 short mag.
He's bumming everyone else.
Yeah, oh my gosh, my cousin was giving me grief for that because he's like, you didn't shoot your deer with your bow, you shot your dad's bow, and then he's like, now you're shooting your buddy's freaking gun. Because he had that thing like dialed in for sheep and stuff like that, so he's got that thing shooting like a mile away he was poking at. So he's like, just take this, he's like, use it, I don't care. He's like, get a kill with it. So anyways, yeah, I sent him a picture. I got two burnt rounds there. Got him a picture of that, so he was pretty happy. Again, first kill with that gun, too. Nice. But anyways, yeah, I personally shoot a 300 for usually everything. But yeah, that one was a 300 short mag, so.
Cool.
Savage 300, yeah. So, yeah, it was cool.
I feel like I was just like, I bet you Luke's going to ask him about the caliber.
Yeah, but.
I just know.
But anyways, yeah, 300 Win Mag is what I've shot. My very first year, my dad gave me his old 256, and I shot that for 1 year, and then he gave me his Browning X-Bolt 300, and then he bought himself a new X-Bolt. So I've been shooting a 300 Win Mag since I was, I guess, 13, 14-ish, so. Good and nice. I've just loved it. It's been really good. Really nice. Like it. Got a little bit of oomph, but. I'm not a very long range shooter, so I'm okay with a pack a punch at 100 yards. So yeah,
it works.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's wild, man. It's cool to hear you finally like share those stories on it, because yeah, those are very just unique stories for you know, like the circumstances and just you know it being your first elk and you know beginning of the season and like again to go back to that deer with the velvet that's on it and how scraggly it looks where it's just shedding it off like you say, you can't even rip it off in there when you're talking about it because it looks like you know in appearance that buck looks like you could just like take it off easily it looks like it's sitting on there like a loose leaf or something but it's still just so hardwired on there it's crazy to see but and then I think it's funny with the elk because it's a beautiful set, and the same thing the first time I saw it was, and I'm sure you saw it too, Luke, when you went and picked up your deer, right? And it is, it's like...
Super happy with that, just a nice, big, clean 5x5, and actually, I was really surprised, because even all the young bulls down there, like, they got really excellent fronts, like, really nice curls and stuff like that to him, and I was really surprised how nice curls he kind of had for his fronts, because if they're kind of scraggly, you know, pointing different directions, and kind of, I was like, but I still would have shot him, but I mean, he's just a nice, beautiful, clean, pretty even bull, so, super cool, but.
Yeah, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And what, how late was that again into the year?
That was, I think I shot him the 14th, so not quite, or the 16th, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was nice because I spent, I think 3 or 4 days the first kind of weekish down there. Took a week off, and then I was only down there for 2 more days after that. So it was a overall pretty quick hunt that year, which was really nice. And I don't know, I get a little bit nervous too, even, you know, thinking about shooting a bull and stuff like that, especially with cows around and everything. Mm-hmm. Even though he was like 20, 30 yards from his cows. And I was even talking to my cousin there, like, he was watching with binos, and I'm like, am I good to shoot him? Like, just because I'm just so, like, scared, I'm just like, I don't want anything to happen. I don't want to accidentally, you know, a bullet mishap, whatever, something flies. I want to make sure he is as isolated as he can be. Yeah. And I just got so nervous trying to shoot at him. I'm just like, is he, like, okay? Am I good to shoot him? And he's like, if you want him, you shoot him. So I was like, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So, just personally, I got, yeah, a little bit nervous for that.
It worked out just fine.
Yeah, exactly. I know, nothing to mean. After I did that, I'm just like, whew. I was like, why was I so nervous about that? But which was okay, because even then, too, I was pretty calm, cool, and collective for actually taking the shot. I just remember even my cousin, he's like, you actually took a nice deep breath and just let it out and held yourself. And I'm just like, yeah, I can't believe I actually did that, because it was just a whew, and then hold. And he was like, yeah. He's like, that was very composed and just nice. Kept it cool. So, and even same with the buck too. I mean, you prepare for those moments and stuff, but actually in the moment, some people get really bad target panic and buck fever and stuff like that. But yeah. Even for that one, like I was so calm, cool, even though it happened over 30 seconds, it felt like 20 minutes. Yeah. But even then it was just like, just take her easy and stuff. And yeah.
That's a cool thing to think about, like that shot cycle and like, mm-hmm. you know, because you can you can noticeably tell when you've calmed down that little bit of adrenaline momentarily.
Yeah.
To like execute what is like your repetitive shot cycle, whether it's with archery or a rifle, like that same cycle that you're using at the range all the time when you're at practice, when you're looking at a target. And I feel like it's noticeable, like you say, when you calm it down and then you can take that shot. And then it might be like after the shot goes off that immediately you're like reinstilled full of adrenaline again, and you're like, oh, that's crazy. But there is like when it is, like you say, when that happens where it's collected, that's exactly where you want to be, right? But you could, like, it's crazy when you can feel it and you just know, you're like, I was aware of everything I was doing in my shot. It wasn't just like, holy cow, there's the opportunity. Never go hoping it.
It's good. And even just one breath is amazing. Like, you can be shaken, but just a quick little, and you just, then you're pretty reset calm yourself for that just quick second that you need to pull the trigger. Yeah, let an arrow fly. So, I've never thought about myself doing that except in that moment, and then afterwards. I was like, man, I don't know if I've ever, like, really just thought about it something that hard before, just because I was so worried, is he alone enough, is something gonna happen. I was just so nervous about you know not hitting him and something mishap with a cow or something like that, like just worst case possible going through my head. And I'm just like, why did I do that to myself? But
did your cousin end up getting his tag filled as well?
Yeah, actually, the week that I was gone, even though it was really foggy, he said he had a bachelor herd of elk that he kind of had come real close to him too. Like, I think he shot his elk at about 100 yards too, because he was he kind of parked at a trail, did a little walk out not too far from his truck, and he said these bulls were just hauling ass right towards him. And he said by the time he got him his gun and everything, like, they were about 400 yards out. And then he said by the time he got laid down, set up and everything, that first bull was 100 yards, didn't even care about him. And then he shot that one, and he got himself a pretty nice 6x6 too. So
nice.
It's interesting. It's pretty kind of one antler's really pulled forward, and I think he kind of had a mishap as a young bull and broke his skull or something like that. But anyways, he that was his first elk too, and actually that was his second ever big game animal he shot. So he's pretty excited about that. So
that's crazy.
It was great.
Yeah, for a first big game animal.
Yeah, because I was also a little bit pressed. I mean, trying to get two elk while we're down there too is kind of like, because I know he was wanting a nice one, I was wanting a good one, of course. So I was like that battle, but I was hoping to be there for his too, but it was really relieving when he got his without me there too, because I'm like, okay, now I can just kind of focus on getting mine now at this point. So it was nice. It was really fun. It was a cool experience hunting that. I mean, kind of like what I'm expecting antelope hunting to be. Similar to, I mean, I hunted with my dad last year with his animal, but it's cool. It's weird hunting elk, that big of an animal on the prairie like that. It's, you know, crawling up with nothing but just a little bit of a lip in front of you, and having to crawl is really cool.
Yeah, man, that's crazy for sure. just think all of the factors for that. And then you had crazy waterfowl season too, like lots of bird hunting and stuff.
Yeah, tons of bird hunting, of course. Yeah, I got out with my one buddy too that works for the same outfit. Got out with him a bit. Took the gal out for a couple hunts too, because we got her training course, or she did, got her training course done and got her certificate and everything. So nice. I kind of wanted to take her out a little bit and kind of show her and a little bit. And I wasn't able to take her out deer hunting and all. I was pretty caught up with elk hunting and stuff kind of on the weekends. So yeah. That's all the time she has. But yeah, it was just a great waterfowl season with my dad and my buddy and her and stuff like that. So yeah, just a lot of great hunts. Had my best hunt, the very first hunt we went on, frick, I think got like 10 out of 11 shots. I was just on fire. I could not miss. I was just like, holy crap. And then my buddy, he was just shit in the bed every shot. I don't think he could hit anything. So
those are good feelings.
But yeah, it was. I was just like, holy crap, okay. Yeah. But yeah, I know it was just an unreal season for everything. So
yeah. Let's see. Yeah, and then going into like spring 2024, I know right away, like, I know Luke's been super eager to share the video of his 2023 buck. So the story was told in Big Buck Magazine. We talked about it here and there on the podcast and stuff. But the video footage that you got of that deer is like just unreal, between your tacticam on the rifle and everything else, trying to, like, you know, how, like you're saying, the difficulties of self-filming yourself, but the amazing stuff you captured. Like, I'm speaking on the behalf of, like, getting a sneak preview of it.
Like, little sneak peek. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, and then of course you do the boom and cut it, and I'm like, oh,
I love
God.
That. Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah, the little teaser video.
He can show it, and then he does it.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna do it, but I was just like, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, tons of great video. I don't want to give anything away, but just lots of beautiful wildlife, lots of scenery. Yeah, that's all I really want to say about it at all, but I'm stoked, and we'll be putting out that video, I think, pretty much like next week.
I was going to say, when I was going to ask when you're coming out with that one.
Yeah,
and people can hit up the website, albertawildlifestories.com. It's going to premiere there.
Awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited to get it out finally.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be on the website with Squires Outside, and then, yeah, on your channels for Squires Outside and everything too, and that'll be awesome to see, and then it'll be just cool to relive that again and for people to see what it looked like from your first-person perspective, because, dude, it is a crazy amount. Same thing. Like, the everything we talk about with stories is it's just the emotion, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
So that's coming up. We'll be sharing that. And then going into spring bear, like we talked about, like Luke and I are going on a spring bear hunt. Hunter's ditching us because he's
way too cool.
Yeah, he shoots a bear last year, now he's a guide. So
I'm pretty hot shit. I can go guiding after one.
Yeah. But no, you're going to be working with an outfitter and stuff, man. That's super, super cool. So that's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
But
really excited to do that. But of course, I'll be missing out a little bit, but that's okay. I'll try to get together again next year for sure. And that way, we'll all have way more experience and stuff like that. It'll be super fun. So
we got some bears to bring to you.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Get some mounts done.
And I still haven't, and I really need to. I keep forgetting, like, every night when I'm laying in bed is watching you shooting your 303 for that. I keep forgetting to watch that and everything. And I was so surprised too, because I mean, it's just such an old gun, and I remember I think you just sent me a photo of that gun, and I was like that's sweet. And then the scope that you slapped on that, I'm like, holy crap, like, that's taken just ages of technology together. Yeah, I was like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Took off a 1976 Bushnell.
Yeah, you should keep that for sure.
It's in the safe for sure. It's not going nowhere.
No.
But trying to get a newer scope mounted to it was fun.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah, I don't even... Do you go through that process in the video at all? Kind of like how you mounted it at all?
No,
or just kind of inciting it? Yeah.
Okay. No, it was...
Instead of like talking about
it. It was very frustrating, to be honest.
Yeah.
To get that scope on there, so it wouldn't make a very fun film to watch.
Yeah.
Not something I'd want to edit. Yeah. That's for sure.
How to go from the rail system of 1960s to the current Picatinny.
Yeah, frustrating.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's quite a big venture, that's for sure.
Oh, man.
I hope to get the first pair with it.
Dude, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, so come and check show at Precision Edge Taxidermy's booth at the 2025 Bowden Sportsman Show. It's all bears. Yeah. The bear booth. Yeah.
Dude, I would not even second guess doing that. I could just do that. Have full body bears on the walls.
That would be so fun.
I would. Yeah.
Get a couple climbing like a half tree.
Oh, dude, that'd be cool. Yeah.
A little mock up dude in a tree stand with some bears going up.
I hope you don't have plans in the fall because you're gonna be working.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. No more. Yeah. But no, that's too funny. But yeah, so the plan is to do the Bowden Sportsman Show again next year in 2025.
I think so. Yeah, we'll kind of see what comes of the business and stuff like that. I mean, the response. I thought the response was great last year, and I'm like, there's no reason why I don't do this next year, like this year.
Yeah.
And now this year, I'm like, holy cow. There's no reason why I don't do it next year too. I mean, and especially like even you guys thinking about doing it too. I mean, no reason why I can't, you know, still do collaborations and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and booths, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just all in the name of fun and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whether I get any business, it's just so fun to be there and experience it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's definitely something for us that when Luke and I finally got there and did all that today, it was like, okay,
yeah,
start thinking about same thing next year for do we want to, you know, go in on a booth, like, if we can do it beside you, great. I don't know how much you can pick who you're beside or whatever, right? But, and maybe set up a couple mics and, interview some passersby and stuff, or try to do something like that. Try to provide a little bit more coverage of the event and people talking about it, and maybe posting an episode each day of the event or something. So I think that's something, we'll probably look at next year. But
yeah, we'll explore it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of, like you said, a lot of great turnout today and a lot of great feedback and a lot of just awesome conversation, talking to everybody and everything, and
I know hopefully next year can have some spring bears and stuff like that from you guys and everything, so I mean, the more customer mounts to have in there, the better. I just love showing off your guys the bears and stuff like that you guys
what are the chances, man, that Corey takes that big of an antelope, Luke gets that deer,
I almost feel bad sometimes having my deer in there and my bear and stuff like that in there too,
because
I like to show off, you know. I sometimes always get afraid, like, oh, you do better work sometimes on your own animals than even, you know, taking the time on customers. So I'm like, no, I'm there. I want to show off as many customer mounts as I can. Like,
But it's just, you're going to have your mounts kicking around, right?
And
you're
like,
I did some habitat on you. I saw a lot of people commenting on your bear because you have to try to describe it visually, right? Mm-hmm. You have this habitat of a full body bear and then this tree, and then a crow like on the tree, like screaming at the dog.
I've seen a lot of couples swing by, and I think a lot of couples can relate to that. I've seen some girls be like, that is just awesome. And the guy's just like, where have I seen
that? That's hilarious. But even kids and stuff, though, they see it and they're just like, whoa, right? Like, it's just such a cool.
Dude,
like,
I can't even remember how I came up with that, why I came up with that. I think I saw, obviously flipping through forums and stuff like that, and really encourage people too, like, I have a lot of people like, who do you use? We'll go through their catalog, see their forms and stuff. And I think I was doing that too. And I'm like, that's a cool mount. Just because I know my bear was small. And I'm like, oh, he's so cute. I'm going to do him, try to do him real innocent and stuff that. Which, I mean, kind of sounds bad, but. I had that raven kicking around too. And I was just like, I can't even remember how I thought of that whole thing.
Genius,
and anyways,
man.
I just did. Raven.
It out.
Only way of putting it's a genius mount.
It's cool, man.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. But dude, I think, you know, you got a lot of compliments on the waterfowl because not a lot of people are doing a lot of waterfowl stuff and everything. But man, some of the pedestals and the habitats and stuff, that's always what, I don't know, for some reason that takes me back sometimes almost as much as the mount, just because it takes a lot of creativity to come up with those ideas, you know, and all the ideas you guys have had for doing that and the pedestals that you've done and stuff. It's just cool to see.
Yeah, no, and I like to try and showcase. And, you know, even with my mounts, then I can be a little bit more free creative with my mounts and really show off something unique and show people, like, everything can be a little bit more if you, you know, put in a little bit more time to research and something like that. Like, just make everything, you know, down to, the detail, the mount and the habitat, everything can just is the artwork itself. And I love doing the habitat work and stuff like that. And even my bear, like I collected a you know, some moss and stuff like that from my bear hunt and everything, or when me and my dad went up north too to do some pre-November scouting too, and I had a couple bags full of moss coming home. All of that moss went onto my bear mouth. I was like, I had no leftovers from that, so.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, even when we, like, first checked out your shop and stuff, I just always thought, yeah, like, you got this, like, these little, like, pieces of wood kicking around that you found, like you said, when you're out going for hikes and stuff, and I'm like, man, it's just cool to, like, see the world through a taxidermist's eyes, because I'm like, I'm going through a hike, and it's like, yeah, it's cool to see, like, a track or something, but you're not like, man, that would look really cool to have a bird mounted on that on a puddle or something, right? Like, yeah. It's cool that you pick all that stuff out, and you have, like, an eye for that as you're walking around, right?
I was really drawn to those Hungarians on that buffalo skull.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love them.
I don't know why. So cool. Yeah. I think it's just because the size. They're so small.
Little birds. And I also just love hunting them, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like looking at them, like, I'm so close to them, I could grab them. But, just
full of killer instinct looking at it. Just like,
oh, tasty little buggers.
Small little innocent. I've had a couple of guys comment to them, too. I'm like, yeah, they're pretty. And they're like, yeah, but they taste way better, too. And I'm like, that's like true.
The ultimate chicken.
It's a pretty, like you said, it's the only prairie chicken, yeah.
Yeah, love them.
Yeah.
It was just cool, just that, you know, it's an old buffalo skull, kind of really deteriorated as if it was kind of out for a long time, weathered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two little Hungarians hanging out on it. It's just such a cool
nightmare. Yeah, personally, I like using that stuff. Like, I even have some, like, cow skulls, and I've done a pheasant mount with kind of a cow skull, too. It just kind of adds to, just kind of that, even that prairie feel to it, too. Like, you know, everything's weathered and just bones out there and stuff. So, like, using even sheds and stuff like that, too. Like, I love using sheds and everything. It just kind of adds that little bit more to it. It's just,
adds to the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, putting a really cool shed or whatever. A lot of people like that, a little bit of detail. It's just,
That reminds me of the wolf at the Fish and Wildlife booth.
Yeah, right next to the fish pond, that full body wolf mount.
Did you see underneath the wolf?
No, I don't know.
It had some elk legs as if it was feeding.
Oh, nice.
A couple shanks. I went to my wife. I thought that was pretty cool.
I was stopped to see a full body wolf. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even notice that.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, they did a pretty nice cat there, too. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I think on the behalf of both Luke and myself, we can't thank you enough for letting us spend the time at your booth today and sitting in for a day to see what all the hype was about at the sportsman show and having us there. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the podcast and everything. And we thank you for that. And
thank you guys for coming. Yeah, it was just an absolute blast. I mean,
you guys
added so much more value and stuff like that to the booth. So of course, I need you guys there and everything. So.
We don't know. Yeah, we just showed up for the day, so I don't know what to expect. I'm like, is this like this all the time? Or just got people coming through trying to
get all your day that busy? And it's like, it's 4 days of pretty well mayhem in there. But I wouldn't trade for anything else. It's just such a fun 4 days. So
thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks for coming back on and sharing the stories finally of everything. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Yeah, it was such a great season. So, so happy I was able to come back on, because I know, even the past when I had, you know, everybody has such big expectations, kind of have to keep yourself motivated and stuff like that. But to be able to, come back and kind of hit every mark I wanted to, I'm just, holy crap. Yeah. It's just unreal.
Crazy year for everybody.
Yeah.
And your booth literally showed that. Your booth is literally like, look how wild 2023 was, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's the pin drop of the year right there. It's just like, if you want to see everybody's success, it was the Edmonton Boat and Sports Show.
Yeah.
The Precision Edge Taxidermy booth.
Yeah.
That's where you see everything.
Yeah. And I mean, even tons of other people too you've talked to as well. And just tons of people you've
interacted with.
Oh my gosh. So many people took great animals this year.
Dude, yeah. Because I remember talking to you and you being like, 2022 wasn't too bad. Didn't have too many big things coming through, but had some big stuff coming through. And then all of a sudden, 2023, it's like every single thing. And like you said, other stories of guests on the pod and stuff. It's just like
a phenomenal year.
Yeah. So hopefully 2024.
We typed it up pretty big now, but we'll start with bear camp and stuff like that. See how bear season goes for you guys.
Last year's cub.
Yeah. We're gonna be so nervous out there.
I remember too. Even Corey. Good thing. Well, he didn't record me, but he recorded the shot of me too. But he's just like, I'm surprised he even made the second shot or the shot, because I missed my first shot. I was shaking so bad. shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he kind of circled back around. He's like, I'm surprised you made the second shot, because he's like, you were sitting there.
And I think he says that even on the podcast I did with him. Dude. He's talking about the arrow just clacking. Oh,
dude. Dude, he would not stop talking about that. I'm like, oh, you're embarrassing me. But I was like, oh, yeah. Man, as soon as I stop feeling that, it's just, I never want to lose that feeling, that's right. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that every time, right? Like, that's what draws you back.
But it was so weird to go from that to being composed with my buck and my elk. I mean, after my deer, holy crap. I mean, the worst spot for you shooting something like that is in a stand. I mean, you're damn near jumping out of it. So,
yeah.
No, it's cool.
Oh, man, that's way too wild. But, I'm surprised. I don't know. I feel like I got hit by a train. I'm so tired from doing everything today. It's a long day. You guys came over. We're sitting in the old podcast den downstairs in my house here. And, you guys came over, what was that, 7 o'clock?
7:30.
This morning. And then we got everything compiled into a truck and ripped over there. And then ripped back, had dinner, and sat down here and had a conversation. And, I feel like I could just hit the floor right now. So
it's a great day.
Probably off.
Yeah, it was a great day.
So awesome.
I've only got an hour drive ahead of me. That's all.
Yeah, you're going back to Black Falls. Yeah. But anyway, thank you guys for the time and everything.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, Hunter.
Pleasure.
Oh, appreciate it. Sure. Yeah. Okay. You take care.
Everybody. Yeah. You guys as well.
See ya.
Yeah.